My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ. Been running in the dark, just trying to heal your scars. Tried everything but turned to God. 'Cause it all starts with you. If you wanna break through, you're gonna. That you could find with Christ. If you're one with Christ.
A good morning, Patriots. And it's Monday, March 25th in the year 2024. The event last week, as you probably know, Candace Owens was released from her position. And that's all because she came out against a particular rabbi. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here, and among many other things. As we start with a Monday, like we always start with Mondays, in a world that is literally upside down. And it is. So, I think we'll just do something different this morning because it is a Monday and it is heading into the window of the eclipse. Let's just start with a prayer today. I think our world needs it. Father God, I just want to thank you for the great Bard's Nation remnant, seriously. And I just want to thank you for all that come here and just the assembly of who we are. And the prayers that we lift and the faith that we have. And just may you continue to guide us in these times with discernment, steady steps, and clear eyes to see the world as you see it, to get past this noise and confusion and chaos, and truly keep ourselves anchored in that walk in the body of Christ. Guide us and direct us in all things. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we get going, one of the things that I actually did have last night was an amazing night's sleep. And I would encourage you to explore my pillow, which is a great place to get some great sleep products, which I sleep on every night. So if you head on over to mypillow.com/bards, that's our incredible page over there that has all the latest and greatest deals, I think you'll be extremely satisfied. I know you will be. I know you'll be so happy when you get those products in your hand, and so many great things. And right now, they have free shipping on orders over $75, which is fantastic, with your promo code. Again, your promo code is BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. The Giza cotton sheets are fantastic. I'm getting some of their two-roll-and-a-go pillows. It's the two-roll-and-go-anywhere pillows. They're pretty cool. They've got American flag and eagles on them. I'm going to get some of those, which I don't have those in my collection of my pillow accessories. And, of course, we have the My Pillow slippers, which are off the scale. And for those of you that are curious, all their products, because I have so many of them, really meet the highest quality standards, and it's always the same thing. You know that when you're purchasing here, whether it's for gifts or for yourself, that these products are always supporting a greater action, which is a company that not only employs American folks, not only has Christ under their heart, in their hearts, but also really upholds and fights for American liberty, thanks to Mike Lindell. So mypillow.com/bards, mypillow.com/bards, amazing product line. Really encourage you to get on over there and add some more to it, or get, if you're new to MyPillow, get over there and get some stuff. Yeah, I don't think you can be a patriot legally without having at least one MyPillow in your house. I don't think it's legal. I think it's an illegal act at this point in time. Marjorie Taylor Greene probably will propose something like that on the floor. Speaking of which, just so we're clear about something, you know, they were going to remove the Speaker of the House by a motion of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I want to just give you some backstory on this. And this is, again, this point of discernment, okay? Marjorie Taylor Greene is, and I got this right from Ivan Ranklin, so let's just be clear. And it's something everybody should see anyway. I think everybody knows that she and Kevin McCarthy have a little thing going on in the bedroom. And so she's working with Kevin McCarthy to oust the current speaker so Kevin McCarthy can get back in. So she's, I would definitely put her on the turncoat list of, you know, operations of the Patriot movement. She likes to speak big words, but she's more interested in her bedroom time than she is the loyalty to the cause. So just understand that. And I would not somebody I would at all trust. Let's put it that way. All right. So Candace Owens tweeted out, "I'm finally free," after she was left, as she was released from her contract from the Daily Wire. She can be supported. I am going to try to reach out to her and see if there's any chance we can get her on the show. I'm hoping to. We'll see what happens. But that there is a big statement. And so I think, you know, one of these things that truth ultimately shows itself. And there's this whole thing spurned around a fight. A Rabbi Shmuley, she called out, and Shmuley came out and called her the N-word and called her all these other things. And he posted this on, it's just stunning. I mean, he literally posted this on X, and he said, "For Purim," he says, "I've dressed up as a Candace Owens Jew." This is him. I'm just reading this. This is not me. I'm coming right off his site. "Or is it just dress up, or are we Jews deep down always like this? Filth, money, drunk on Christian blood, and dual loyalties for Israel. I felt that since Candace Owens got fired on Friday, I might as well try and bring her some joy." So I want to just play this for you. I don't know who does this. This is insane. He's dancing with his kids. He's in a t-shirt with dollars all over it. And he's got written in red ink, which is supposed to be blood, "The Candace Jew." Take a listen.
Hi, everybody. Purim is a day of celebration. We feel bad for Candace Owens that she lost her job. So I figure, with her image of what Jews are supposed to look like, why not at least validate her? I am dressed up as a Candace Owens Jew. Now, this is not a Christian child, this is a Jewish child. But if it would be, I got my Christian blood. Spicy, delicious. I got my Jewish nose. I have filth, because Jews are all filth. And more than anything else, what does Zadie have?
Money!
Jews are all about money.
All about the Benjamins.
Wait, I'm getting a little bit thirsty. Where's the matzah? I don't want to finish the whole thing and not mix it into the matzah. So can someone just bring me? She did say that I was getting. She liked that tweet that I'm getting drunk on Christian blood. So let's do it the right. Oh, so good. So good. Benafuhu, Purim is a day that our enemies fall, my brothers and sisters. This is the way they want us to look. I'll do it for one night. I'll indulge them. If it floats their boat,
where's
why
your
not?
Horns? Where's
oh,
your
my
horns?
Horn.
They're covered, you forgot
they're,
your horns.
They're covered by my yarmulke.
Ah.
Okay, happy Purim, everybody.
Yeah, so happy Purim. Whatever. There's a classlessness in these people, and when you see it, you just realize there's a deep soul rot that exists within them. Obviously, he apparently thinks this is totally normal behavior. Let us not forget the mattresses stained with blood and urine that were found underneath the synagogue in New York in the tunnel that was illegally dug and the speed in which they buried that tunnel once it was found, right? That's important to remember. Not that there's anything to that at all. The other thing, though, is there are other videos now that have surfaced of him in his celebration. And this is, again, the rabbi is now dancing and doing his whatever they call it, his hip gyrations. But then literally, he's literally doing grinding on children, sitting on children and grinding his butt on children. And it's just disgusting. So if this is, I would just say it this way, whatever the humor is, it's at the very minimum inappropriate, more likely a reflection of his bigger view towards things. So I think we can take it from there and be pretty assured that Candace Owens, once again, was on point. And I think that what we're seeing here is that she's probably broke him too. A lot of people can't handle the amount of media pressure that can happen when you expose them. So whatever his deal is, and he tweeted that out. He says Happy Purim, and he put in himself. This wasn't somebody else. He photographed himself, videoing himself grinding on a child's lap. That wasn't done by anybody else. That's off his site, Rabbi Shmuley. This man's nuts. At the very least, it's showing you, if nothing else, it is showing you an absolute contempt towards anything Christian and a hatred towards any class of Christians and a willingness to go so far outside the norms that he believes he's above the law and above judgment by anybody else. That alone is the reflection of who he is. And that's enough for me. I don't need more than that. So, yeah, lots of craziness going on in our world. And unfortunately, all roads often lead to the same place. You want to talk about crazy? Scotland has now passed the most strict law ever on free speech. Take a listen to this. This is insane.
This is quite clearly the most draconian anti-free speech law ever passed in any Western country. In Scotland, anything deemed by authorities to be threatening and abusive will be treated as hate speech. And police are actually being ordered to target comedians and actors who make such comments. Even in the context of a performance of a play. Under the SNP's hate crime bill, actors can be charged with delivering lines written by long-dead playwrights. If audiences deem the lines problematic, problematic, actors can literally go to prison for their work. In Scotland, if you so much as retweet a video clip deemed offensive to transgenders, you could get collared too. It's all happening under new Scottish First Minister Humza Yousaf, the same guy who wanted to prosecute people for the content of their private conversations if they were deemed to have caused offence, and they get prison time for sharing spicy memes in the chat group.
This is part of the greater, obviously, the greater movement on the Western culture to tie down alt free speech, and tying it always to the deranged and psychopath pedophile group called LGBTQ. And so this is what pedophiles want, because the more that they can suppress free speech and the inability to share anything, it's a communist revolution under the guise of gender. And their gender is something that is the protected class that has also becomes a religion. And therefore, they can shut down all communication, all free speech, all everything. And in so doing, control the world while they steal your kids and mutilate their kids. Now, we've had reports, and there, I mean, this is not, we've talked some about it, but it's important to realize that this is a time you have to really get to a place of understanding your red lines. And I truly mean this. This is a hard time to where you have to be very clear, and I would encourage you to communicate those red lines with other community people to your sheriff, meaning find common thought within your community. But you have to have the red lines. If you're living in an all-blue area with all liberal rules and you have kids, I'm going to tell you that you're going to have to make some hard decisions, because they're coming for your kids. This isn't a joke. They're coming for your kids. And how you handle that is a lot of how you stand before God at the end. Allowing them to take your children is, in my opinion, a violation of your oath to heaven or your obligation to heaven. God gave you children to protect and to defend, and that's at all costs. So if these are choices that we all now have to make. Now, I'm going to play something here that it may find offensive to some people, but we are living in a culture that increasingly is normalizing everything extreme. Not only are we normalizing sexual behavior on the outside edge, making it normal not only to be perverts, but to be normal to cut the genitals off your children or the breasts off your little girls. I mean, this is the new norm that they're trying to standardize. And with this, they're also trying to normalize obesity. The one thing to remember about this group of people is they are a use and abuse culture. They will use you until you are no more. That's the idea, because they're trying to move through influence. They're trying to move the norms of a society into the extreme of insanity. And along the way, who they ravage and kill, they don't care. This is just a short little piece. And it's literally just, it's cold. I mean, I laugh at it, but it's cold. It's all the people that were promoting obesity and extreme fatness as normal, how every one of them has died.
Just because I'm fat, that doesn't invalidate the things that I say.
She died.
You ready to get supersized?
She died too.
Today I got the big Fruit Loop.
He's dead.
Join me on my Fat Positive radio show.
Which didn't last long because she died.
It obviously is not, obviously not something that continued well. The obesity movement is not taking off well, because obesity movement is now dead or dying very quickly. Now, let me take this even to show you how brutal this is. Okay. In Oregon, we had Measure 110. Measure 110 was the legalization of all drugs. Let me just read it to you very quickly. America's, and just before I set this up, this is now being repealed by our lesbian governor and train wreck, Tina Kotek, because it has been a massive failure. The legalization of drug has failed miserably in our state, and we'll get to why she's actually repealing it in a minute. It's more than failure. But this is a headline in The Atlantic. Why Oregon's drug decriminalization failed. The sponsors of the law fundamentally misunderstood the nature of addiction. You just literally have to say wow to a headline like that. and just read this to you in the first couple of paragraphs. America's most radical experiment with drug decriminalization has ended after more than 3 years of painful results. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek has pledged to sign legislation repealing the principal elements of the ballot initiative known as Measure 110, which stated that possessing hard drugs is again a crime in Oregon, and courts will return to mandating treatment for offenders. Oregonians had supported Measure 110 with 59% of the vote in 2020, but 3 years later, polling showed that 64% wanted some or all of it repealed. All the measure was touted by advocates as radical justice policy, support for its repeal was especially strong among African-American and Hispanic Oregonians. The key element of Measure 110 were the removal of criminal penalties for possession of small amounts of drugs such as methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl, and a sharper focus instead on reducing the harm the drugs cause their users. More than $260 million were allocated to services such as naloxone distribution, employment and housing services, and voluntary treatment. The original campaign for the measure was well-funded by multiple backers of the left, including money from George Soros. My words, most prominently the Drug Policy Alliance based in New York. Supporters hoped that ending penalties and reducing the associated stigma of drug use would bring a range of benefits. Once drugs were decriminalized and destigmatized, the thinking went, those who wanted to continue using would be more willing to access hard, harm-reducing services that help them use a safer ways. This is literally the absolute retardation of the left. An addict does not choose to walk away from drugs. An addict is addicted. I don't know how else to say it. That's it. And this entire thing was a scam to break Oregon, to create a permanent drug class, to enhance crime in our streets, and as they defunded police or tried to take away powers and authorities of our sheriffs. Remember, when this 110 passed, they at the same time tried to remove the authority of the people's ability to vote in sheriffs. This was all an attempt to a test pilot plan here in Oregon to try to get it to be a model to take to every state, just like they did with our gun law, which is the strictest in the nation, which is now dead as well, by the way. So for those of you that think that Oregon's all blue and nothing happens, please pay attention to not the headlines, but what actually goes on. We have had some major victories here, and I'll be very honest, have saved the nation from some massive headache. Oregon is where they pilot programs. This is where voter mail-in voting started. We have not had a non-mail-in voting election since, I think, 1999, and we have not had a governor other than a Democrat since then. This should tell you everything. So Oregon had Measure 110. Measure 110 passed because Portland has a ton of druggies, and Portland is the number one heroin user in trafficking space in the nation. The number of heroin addicts in Portland is outrageous. The strip club culture is outrageous. There's more strip clubs per capita in Portland than any other place in the country. And the people that run those strip clubs behind the scenes are also major drug traffickers in ties with cartel. And they are tied in with the leadership in Portland, which creates a protected class. Why did this actually get overturned? And it has nothing to do with Oregonians. They love to do this. You need to say Portland and Eugene are the two engines behind this bill that passed. What happened was that voting block shifted. And it's really important to hear the subtleties in this article. 59% of the vote was for it. 59% of the vote was driven by the population centers in Portland and Eugene, Oregon, where the rest of the states, and this is again another reflective problem of our country, too many conservatives and too many independents did not vote. They didn't take it seriously. Portland as a block outweighed the rest of the state. But this is what happened in those voting strong areas. Blacks and Hispanics shifted and went against it. And they are so panicked of losing this, they already are, the Hispanic and black vote, that now liberals are caving to give into the policies that they wanted to destroy the nation because they know they'll have no power. So important to understand the power of what's going on here in the subtleties of our election demographics. Black America and Hispanic America are waking up, and they're standing up boldly now in alliance with what we would call white America. We just call that as a voting bloc. You can call it MAGA. I just call it Patriot America, because I think MAGA is too specific. And when you start to see this voting bloc stand up in mass, the Democrats are losing ground. One of the reasons they're flooding the country with illegals, we know this, because they need this new voting bloc to replace what they're losing. But this policy here was a model, and I really need people to understand this. This is templated here in Oregon that they wanted to roll out in every single state, because here's the use and abuse culture that they are. The fools that passed this, which every one of them should be given at the very minimum mandatory community. So, I mean, everybody that voted for this, and I mean this, every single person, if I had voter roll access, I swear, and I was the king for a day, I would make every person that voted in favor of this at the very least have to wear an orange jumpsuit and pick up litter for 6 months in their county. And this is why. This was one of the most destructive measures we could have ever put on a state. We may have Measure 110 repealed for the most part. We are left with the carnage of new addicts. And as a state, there's unfortunately for the dark left, there is a victory, because now all that money that they wanted to go to social services for these endless programs of non-addicting, of getting people off addiction, which never works because it's never based, faith-based. It's never rooted in the concepts of deliverance and breaking people free of addiction. It's always rooted in behavior, and it's rooted in drug therapy. They still have that victory on the table. The left is the people behind this movement, which is not really left. We use that collectively. It is literally the communist movement of the world that is doing this. And the fools that follow this are so reckless in their behavior, so reckless in their life, and so unaccountable that what ends up happening is you destroy and ravage lives, and then they conveniently get comfort in saying, okay, well, it didn't work, we'll just repeal a measure. We are left with generational damage thanks to every one of these fools that passed this and voted for it. And I would mean this, that even people that didn't take the time to study it and thought it was just a good idea, they still deserve 6 months of litter pickup in every county in an orange jumpsuit. We have got to get back to understanding that measures like this are not casual measures to vote for. And literally, like, something like this should never – we have a citizens initiative aspect here in Oregon, which many states don't have. Super powerful, because we can put big measures on the ballot with enough signatures. The problem is that once these big movements like this can be put on without any restrictions on, like, test piloting this thing should have been totally screened and looked at and discussed in a much broader way. But – the concept of people is just this, well, we're going to do a good thing, and we're going to turn society into one big test tube experiment. This is insane what's happened here. And I will just tell you that thanks to strong pushback by the counties, county commissions, my county is one of them, strong pushback by people, thank goodness, and our awakening of key demographics, which would include Black America and Hispanic Americans, to join the fight in this. This thing has been repealed. Had this successfully gone forward, I will 100% guarantee you, because the money behind this was to put this in every single state. And if they had accomplished it here, they would have continued across this nation. So I say this many times, that Oregon is overlooked and it's just washed off as it's just a blue state. Oregon is not just a blue state. It is the pilot state for the problems of the nation. Right now, they're in the process of trying to secure farms, steal farmers' ability to raise food, and they're doing it through commerce and water rights. In Oregon, they have declared the ability, the state to says that the water in the state is the state's control of the people. It's not the individual's rights anymore. So they've tried to say that they even control the rainwater. These models that they're continuing to get to and now are being challenged in court, their intent is if they can have an equal victory on this, they will roll this out in every single state. And we have to appreciate what that means, because once if someone doubts that and says, well, that's not true, it's just Oregon, your ability to vote by mail started here in this state and was rolled out, and the outcome has been disastrous. So why they use Oregon is Oregon only has 8 electoral votes. Nobody cares about Oregon. It's the last on the map. Every time we do an electoral vote in the presidency, you know, they are literally moving across, and no one cares about Oregon, because by the time the election's decided, it's somewhere back east or it's some of the like big city in Chicago, Atlanta. That's what decides the presidential races, and they go, ah, no big deal. Candidates don't stump here. They don't come here and do much time because, again, Oregon just has 8 electoral votes. What we miss in this is what Oregon is. Oregon has the most important asset of any state in the nation. And that important asset is 7 data cables that run off its coast that go from here. All of them end up in Shanghai, every single one of them. So it also has the highest, it is the highest sex traffic corridor in the entire nation. I live next to it. It's I-5. And they have cartels all over the state thanks to our liberal drug policy. So Oregon is a template. We have right now under investigation, thank goodness, finally, because it broke and it was an accidental release of data that the state did. And in the process, we discovered that big names in our state, including our governor, Tina Kotek, has received cartel money to get into office and has been working with key investment firms. Now think about this morality of this. Key investment firms have been working to hide the fact that she got money from cartels. So they're trying to launder it through the different sources. The players that are involved in this, the moral concept of people is so broken, and our state is just a small reflection of the entire country, that the morality of this nation is just despicable. If you are sitting here in an investment office and you know that somebody received cartel money and you are complicit in laundering that money so that it's not seen, when you go after the cartel for doing it, I would actually say they're less criminal than the person that took it, and the person that took it is less criminal than the person that hid it. I would literally go, okay, politician, you're going to get 10 years doing rocks. The person that hid it, you're going to swing from a gallows and be done with it. So we have to understand the magnitude of these crimes. Criminals are criminals. And I don't expect them to be anything other than criminals. Would I expect the cartel not to try to give money to a campaign? Of course not. They're just criminals. They're predictable. They're going to get a criminal's punishment. Would I expect a politician to receive it? Unfortunately, the way our politics are now, I would say yes, but they're more criminal than the cartel. Would I expect somebody to work willfully and to make money off of the transaction of hiding that money? That's your real problem right there. Because if you can't hide it, you're not going to take it. It's bottom line, right? Now, in Russia, you know that there was a terrorist attack. There's various numbers on this. I've heard as high as 80 were killed. The initial reports were 40 that were killed. There is some real strangeness in this event, and it's strangeness that I don't know that we have a direct answer for, but to be clear about this, why I say there's strangeness, there was a movie that was put out, and this movie was put out in 2020 by Christopher Nolan, all right, and it's Tenet. And what's bizarre about this film is it was the exact scene that we just witnessed in Russia. It was filmed at the same opera house. It was filmed with the same scenario of terrorists coming in and shooting people. So am I being conspiratorial? A little bit, because the fact is that this is unbelievable that we would have this coincidence and then have this event happen in Russia. Now, with that, the next piece is, what are we witnessing? Russia is sending a message to the world, and the footage is harsh. I don't know where all this is. The timing of this is a bit suspect on many levels, obviously, but the whole thing about where Putin is, what Putin's trying to do in his country, they're trying to force him into a bigger fight by pressure. There's a lot of aspects to this, but the footage has surfaced. of what they have done to at least one of the terrorists, and I don't think he had a good day. Essentially, this operation was botched because these terrorists were not supposed to survive. They blame this on ISIS, and I think that that in itself needs to be questioned of what ISIS is. I want you to listen to this piece here before I go further. Take a listen.
English. Just don't translate the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad's institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. The Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. And if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS.
That is huge. If that, in fact, is what we're talking about, and it is in fact, ISIS, like they say, then all roads once again lead back to Israel, if that is the case. Something very, very significant. So this is an event here where what we have seen in some of the footage, I saw some of it this morning, it's rough. They literally had one of the terrorists down and cut off part of his ear and then fed it to him. He did not have a good day. So whatever he was, whoever he was running, it's... Sorry, kind of a bad day. That's all I can say. Not a good one. Now, Hollywood is falling apart, if you didn't know this. I wish I had some melodramatic music to play with this. I don't, but I'm going to play this anyway for you. I just want you to hear this. This is classic. It'll speak for itself. Here we go.
The entertainment industry is seriously broken. I asked a few of my friends and colleagues to describe what they're going through, and I think you should take a listen.
My name is Matt Hoban. I'm a former executive producer. So many of my mentors and my friends and collaborators are working less, to the point where they're not working at all. We're just people trying to make a living, and it's getting really hard to do that.
I'm Jen. I am a former editor. I am definitely financially struggling. You may lose my house and it's really scary, so I really need help and a job and just some support. So thank you.
I'm Marcia, producer, casting director. The last show I worked on was Generation Gap. We're just trying to keep our kids fed at this point. Keep our house, keep our cars, get food on the table.
My name is Wilfredo Hernandez. I used to be a television editor, and I'm being forced to move out of my house because I'm not going to be able to afford the mortgage anymore. So let's try and make this very aware that we're all going through this to see if we could bring some change.
My name is Steve Mellon. I'm a reality television editor, worked on shows like The Amazing Race and Undercover Boss. There just isn't any work out there. My wife, Stephanie, has not worked as a post-production supervisor. She's working, doing Instacart runs, trying to just keep her sanity and bring some extra money in. Half of my Rolodex, they're looking for work. They're scared. They could use some help and support.
My name is Erin. I'm an SVP of development in Unscripted. I've been in the business for 22 years. I was laid off. I'm a single mother with three kids, and the situation really stinks.
Hi, I'm BK. I'm an editor. Last year, I was brought in to revamp a signature element of one of Netflix's most popular shows. I haven't worked since, and now my family and I are living on credit.
Hi, my name is Anna. I most recently worked as a TV post-producer. My insurance company is specifically targeting MPI members and taking a very long time to authorize medical procedures in a timely manner.
My name is Sasha, and I'm a former VP of production, and I have officially been out of work for 11 months. I've applied at over 200 job postings and have not gotten a single job.
Huh. Do, 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 do. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, every one of these people, this is really kind of an Esther moment. And I guess, you know, where I find myself openly a little bit conflicted because I don't want to dance around in joy on someone else's misery. But I think from a very clear, righteous optic, my question I would have for every single one of them is, where is your faith? And where is your faith in Jesus? And I would argue that probably every one of them would say little or none by the time you got through with the truthful answer. The other part about this, which is very real, is these people were very quick to get on the bandwagon. Every one of them has taken the shot, I guarantee it. And every one of them has been extremely forward-leaning on their judgment of anybody Christian, of anybody white, and of this United States, because every one of them, I guarantee you, voted for Biden. What we're witnessing here, truly, in my opinion, is God's hand of the boomerang effect, which would be the book, the 17th book of the Bible, and the book of Esther. And this is literally how being hung by Haman's noose. So it's, or, and it's really important to understand that it's a place where this is going to be happening across the board. We are living in a time of accountability. There's no way around that. And that is going to face everybody. When we want to look at the balance of things, every one of us went through a very difficult time, some more than others, of having to take a stand for what was correct and right, which was the vax and all of this condemnation that went about, the pushback against DEI, the standing up for that righteous view of what we know is true and right, and essentially standing on the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. When you walk away from that and then suddenly you suffer the consequences of it and you're turning to the public to ask for sympathy, sympathy is literally begins with handing somebody a Bible. And that's, to me, the answer here. It's like, okay, I'll give you sympathy. Start in Genesis and tell me how it goes by the time you get to Revelation. So there is sympathy in my heart. Pray and start reading. But I'm hold back a little bit of mockery on this only because in this particular case, and I do mean this, I don't think it's the righteous walk to totally mock them, but I don't have an inordinate level of sympathy. I have empathy, which is different, which is I hope that you find Jesus, and I'll be glad to send you a Bible, but don't look for me for solutions because you weren't there to help us with the solutions. Now you have to walk the path in which you hoed, and with that, it's a tough walk. I want to pray for their success, but I also know that this walk that they're on now will be transformative. There is no way they're going to get through this in the way that they used to be. So on one level, too bad. On another level, it's like, this is kind of exciting because we're going to watch the hand of God here transform hearts and literally watch them go their walk now. This was an outcome, and it is an outcome, of seeing people having to pay a price for walking away from God. And if they choose to continue to walk where they are, they're going to continue to see these things. I'm living on credit. I'm losing my house. It's like, okay, you know, hey, dude, sorry. Sorry it didn't work out for you. But we'll see on the other side. So we see when people stand up for righteousness. I'll be honest. I've never been a huge fan of Candace Owens. I've kind of gone back and forth on her. I was, when she got her contract for the production company that she was at, which was, I guess, Daily Wire, I was especially not a big fan because I felt that really what was behind that was money. I have gained quite a measure of respect for her willing to walk away from that and speak truth, which has to happen. So that's really, we have to speak truth and take whatever cost that is, because if we're speaking truth and walking in truth, that foundation and the direction we go carries and bears a burden. But we all know that when we stand in that place and keep our faith with God, those burdens are released and we are led to a greater place. That's a lesson that Hollywood has yet to learn. So anyway, let me play this for you here. An interesting piece. It was actually an interview Michael Moore did, of all things.
There are two ways in which people are controlled. First of all, frighten people, and secondly, demoralize them. An educated, healthy, and confident nation is harder to govern. And I think there's an element in the thinking of some people. We don't want people to be educated, healthy, and confident because they would get out of control. The top 1% of the world's population own 80% of the world's wealth. It's incredible that people put up with it, but they're poor, they're demoralized, they're frightened, and therefore they think perhaps the safest thing to do is take orders and hope for the best. There are two ways in which people...
And I think that's kind of the bottom line on all things, is people find the easy way, and the enemy demoralization is a hard thing to overcome. And that's really where the strength in our faith gets so powerful and so true, is we truly, truly understand that our strength is through God and through all things. Last little thing here just to consider. You'll know that Wall Street has a bull as one of its big symbols on the ground. It's interesting because this actually comes from something old. It was called the Brazen Bull. It's an ancient torture, in fact. It was an ancient torture device. And that torture device was created by Pyrrhus of Athens. And what they would do is they would put somebody inside of the bull, and they would light a flame and fire underneath this bronze bull and until the person roasted inside. The head of the bull was designed in such a way that their screams were able to filter out and sound like the sounds of a real bull. Well, the inventor of this thing was actually coaxed into, I don't know how they did this, but this is just dark humor. they coaxed him into being part of the demonstration. And so they got him inside the bull to show how it worked, then locked him in and lit a fire. It didn't end well for him, as you might imagine, but they did prove that it worked. So really, when you look around at what Wall Street has done today and the way our country is run, it is the same principle, other than they don't have to light a fire anymore. They only have to get you hooked into debt and hooked into the obsessions of money and things, and they accomplish the same thing in the end. They drag you out and they slowly roast you until you're done. So biggest thing in all of this truly is to appreciate truly whom we are and what we are about. I'm going to end with this piece. I think it's a real good way of seeing things. So here we go.
I call this the six pillars of homesteading. One, grow your own food. Maintain an orchard. Grow a garden. Learn how to forage off the land. Reduce your reliance on commercial produce. Two, raise beneficial creatures. Keep chickens for eggs. Raise bees for honey. You can get cows for dairy, goats, rabbits, and sheep, whatever suits your lifestyle. Three, learn how to preserve your own food. Canning, dry storage, smokers. Four, build your own infrastructure. Solar or wind power for energy. Propane backup. Keep a well house for water. Five, reduce your waste. Build things out of upcycled materials. Wash and reuse your plastics. Compost your food waste or feed it to your animals. Six, be a positive part of your community. Participate in farmers markets and local functions. Show up with your tools when somebody needs help. Be there for the people who care about you and the ones who don't. Eventually, homesteading is about liberty, independence, and self-sufficiency. So whatever you do, do it as your genuine self.
Interesting. Sure sounds a whole lot like county by county. That's awesome. So that's really where the power of everything is, and it's where the power of independence and breaking from the system is. So stay true. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. But before we do that, let's do a prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this day and just the blessed time that we have together and just these constant focus on setting ourselves apart from the system and getting ourselves secure in all that we do and less dependent on a major system and dependent instead on our own skills, gifts, and talents and the building of community around us. Father, in this time that we've continued to look at the world and this Babylonian structure that is collapsing and falling, we need to be reminded that the life of convenience has been the trap and death of our soul. This is time now to set it free. So we just pray that the inspiration to continue to dig deeper into growing our own food, being independent from the dependency on a system, to being a community asset, not a community, a dependent, and to continue to inspire others to do the same, including and most importantly, the walk in faith and the love in Jesus. Let us continue to be the people on the ground that are spreading our faith through works, the demonstration of Christ in life, not just Christ in text, and to raise up a world that truly understands the connectivity of us all in the body of Christ. And we declare and say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Great day, and a great day to step outside and say, yoo-hoo, guess what's coming? The Lord is coming. It's all good. Don't forget April 8th coming up. It's a big deal, and It's going to be a fun event, a fantastic event, and we're going to have a lot of change happen in our hearts, I truly believe. So you can register for that at bardsfest.com. That's the Eclipse event. Go ahead and do that. It's an exciting time. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, in God we trust. We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.